Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to another dual broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and the Everything Church Related Podcast. That's right, folks. If we're doing a dual broadcast, you know we have something special lined up for you today. My guest today is Dr. Paul Baraka, who is the 8th General Director of Fellowship International Mission. Now, Fellowship International Mission, or FIM for short, is a mission-sending agency with over 100 missionaries serving in 24 countries. FIM's goal is to assist missionaries to fulfill their calling by equipping and serving them. Rather than a specific country of focus, FIM starts with the calling of the missionary, and then they come alongside to help them to fulfill their call. Today, we'll discuss discipleship as our main topic, but FIM goes much, much further than that. Dr. Paul Baraka sensed the Lord's call into pastoral ministry while he was a teenager and entered full-time ministry at the young age of 21. He studied at Word of Life Bible Institute, the Lancaster Bible College, at the Michigan Theological Seminary, and at Clark's Summit University, where he earned a Doctor of Ministry degree. He's taught in Bible colleges, both in the United States and in the Philippines. He's the author of a book, Follow the Master, a Discipleship Guide for Growing Christians. His passion for discipleship grew out of pastoral ministry as he served for 33 years in 4 churches in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. He now utilizes his pastoral experience and discipleship tools to assist missionaries and churches through the ministry of FIM. Paul and his wife Kim have 3 children, 7 grandchildren, have been married since 1982. So you can contact Paul later, and we'll get into the contact information to get more information on FIM and how you can find out what's going on with him. Wow. Folks, help me welcome to the program Dr. Paul Baraka. Paul, that is quite a bio. I don't even know how you found out time to write a book with all that going on.
Well, good to be with you, Pastor Bob. You know, you read all that, and I'm thinking, wow, 21 years old. How do you start ministry at 21 years old? What in the world was I thinking?
Amen. That's definitely not the thought process of the normal 21-year-old.
No, that's right. Yeah, but you know, I had the privilege of growing up in Skirring Lake, New York, which is the headquarters of a wonderful ministry called Word of Life. And that the leaders of that ministry, who were church members and friends of mine, they made a huge impact in my life. And that's kind of the tool that one of the tools that the Lord used to point me in the direction of serving Him and blessing the church and trying to be a blessing to others. And so it's been wonderful, and I just am so thankful for the privilege I have to work with missionaries now around the world. And
that's awesome.
Oh, it's just incredible. It's just great.
Well, Paul, I always begin my interviews by asking this first question. Tell us in your own words, who is Paul Baraka?
Well, that you got a little bit of that, you know, in the bio information there, Pastor Bob. But my heart is that of a pastor. When I was 15 years old, up in that Skirring Lake, New York, in a little church called Mountainside Bible Chapel, Pastor Hibbert asked me to preach a sermon.
Wow.
As part of a youth night. And it was a short little sermon, you know, 15 minutes or 10 minutes. And I was as nervous as all get out and got up and preached that message. And I knew that night it wasn't like electricity, or it wasn't like a lightning bolt from heaven or any kind of spectacular feeling. But I went home that night and I knew that this is what I'd be doing for the rest of my life. And so my calling and what God put in my heart is to be a pastor. A few years ago, as part of I've been a member of the board of directors at FIM and serving at a church in Vineland, New Jersey, where I've been the pastor for 15 years, had no intention of leaving, no intention of doing anything different until the Lord took me home. But the Lord stirred in my heart, and the folks at FIM asked if I would move from being a board member to being the general director. So a pastor's heart, now serving as a pastor to missionaries and an encourager of those who might think God's calling them to be a missionary, to help them to fulfill that call. We like to use the slogan from Home Depot, You can do it. We can help. And so for people thinking about maybe I could be a missionary somewhere, it's my passion and plan to try to help you figure out how to do that.
That's awesome. Now, you're the 8th General Director of Fellowship International Mission, right?
Yes.
Okay, tell us how the organization was formed and how you ended up as the 8th General Director. I mean, right. you just said that you were on the board. How did you get on the board and you know, when did you sense the actual calling to be on the board of directors for FIM?
Right. Well, Pastor Bob, as a pastor in Jersey, we had a missionary that was a man from Ghana, and his name was John Quow. He had a burden to start a Bible school, and we had supported him, and he needed $43,000 to build a Bible college and seminary and get that started, and he already had students meeting, and as a church, we had money in our building fund that we weren't using, and we thought, wow, you know, we've got, I think we had several hundred thousand dollars, and we knew we weren't ready to start our building yet, and we thought, well, why should that be money, why should that money be sitting in our bank account? We can give that to John. So I took a trip with FIM's director, my predecessor, pastor, a guy named Steve Wilt, a wonderful director. He's been at FIM for 15 years. And Steve and I went to Ghana, and we went to investigate and find out if this might be a good avenue for our church to get involved. And we got to meet John and his lovely wife, Dinah. They were just wonderful folks. Their school was, they had a great plan. They had a piece of property. And we came home and we were ready to send that $43,000 to Ghana. Very sadly, 3 weeks after I returned back to the U.S., John passed away from malaria, went home to be with the Lord. It took him very suddenly. In 24 hours, he went from having a fever to being in the Lord's presence.
Wow.
So the school didn't proceed. Our plans were changed. But the Lord used that event to move in Steve Wilt's life, the director at FIM. He asked at that point if I'd come on the board. He saw my heart for missions. And over the years, Pastor Bob, I've been on in 33 years of ministry. I've led 30 international mission trips. And that's not here at FIM. That's in being a youth pastor or being a senior pastor. So became a board member in 2007 and had been serving on the board of directors a couple of years ago. Our previous chairman, Steve Wilt, was getting ready to retire and was looking for the next director. And he and some of the board members asked me if I would be interested in doing that. I said, oh, that's great. That's kind of you. I'm you know, touched that you would think about that. But man, I'm a pastor. I don't want to be running around, you know, the world visiting missionaries. And they asked a couple of times. And finally, I listened to my wife. And she said, honey, I think you ought to look into this. And so, you know, Pastor Bob, I've learned a little bit too late in life. Always listen to your wife. You know?
Yeah. I mean, even if they're wrong, they're still right.
Oh man, okay. Well,
I can edit that part out. No.
At every transition in life and ministry, my wife Kim has been the one that's been ahead of the game. You know, I think she has way more faith than I do. So,
oh, amen. Yeah, that's my wife's the same way.
Amen. Yeah. So we talked and as soon as I sat down with the leadership at FIM, I knew that we all knew that this was where the Lord was leading us and. It's just been super exciting. We're just enjoying what we get the privilege of doing.
I mean, well, how does 33 years of pastoral ministry, I mean, how does that help you to support the mission field?
Yeah, that's what I wasn't sure of, you know, but as I started to do this, you know, your missionaries need a pastor too, and they need pastoral care. They have struggles, and they have heart issues with their kids. They have concerns and disappointments in ministry. And most of them are involved in church planning. And so, you know, the problems that we face here in our churches in America, the challenges, the needs of family ministry and discipleship and counseling and all of those things, they're the same on the mission field. It's just in a different language. And so I have the opportunity of taking that pastoral experience and sharing that with our missionaries. And also, you know, I've been a youth pastor for a number of years, and I just love going to college campuses and talking to young people and sharing with them the possibility of being a missionary. And, you know, there is a spiritual excitement and spiritual revival in the hearts of young people today. And it's a lot of negative things said about millennials and, you know, the snowflakes and all that. So I got to tell you, that is not my experience. I see young people with a passion to make a difference in the world for Christ. Yeah, their methods and ideas are maybe a little bit different than old guys like me, but they are passionate. And so if you take the experience and the wisdom of the older generation and you combine it with the zeal and the enthusiasm of young people, that's kind of how we continue the gospel work. So I get to pastor our missionaries, and I get to mobilize young people and encourage them that there might be a path for them in serving the Lord in a different country. So it's a really good combination.
Amen. Now, do you visit just Bible colleges or traditional colleges or both, or how do you do that?
Well, we're predominantly visiting Bible colleges. Okay. It's a little bit more difficult to get into state universities and things.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, it's not so much that it's difficult, but there's really not much point in going just generally to some event at, you know, Penn State or you know, Rutgers University or something like that. What we really do try to do when we have the opportunity is visit like a Navigators or a Campus Crusade meeting and those kinds of things. So we try to network in those ways when we can. But it's predominantly through Christian colleges and through student events and things of that nature.
Okay. Is your organization, is it just denominational only, or is it multi-denominational? How does that work?
Yeah, it's Pastor Bob, it's independent, so we have folks from different denominations that will come with us. Southern Baptist folks, Bible Fellowship, GARB, you know, a number of different folks, but we ourselves are not under the banner of any one denomination.
Okay, amen. Now, the discipleship tools, are they specific just to missionary work only, or can they be used in churches that might be listening to us as well?
Yeah, no, this is really out of my pastoral ministry at Faith Bible Church in Vineland, New Jersey, other churches over the years. We found that in ministry that we were eager to have a way that not only the pastor can disciple. I mean, you know, so here's what happens in most churches, Bob, and you probably know this, you know, Joe and Mary bring their friends, their next door neighbors to church, and they come on a few Sundays, and they come to know Christ as their Savior, and Joe and Mary are so excited that their friends have gotten saved, and so they call the pastor and say, "Hey, Pastor Paul, guess what? Joe and Mary got saved. Now, can you disciple them?"
Yeah.
That's the plan most churches have for discipleship, or you know, probably even more common, Bob, is that we don't even do discipleship. We just tell Joe and Mary want to know, well, okay, well, what do we do now? You know, we trust Christ as our Savior. And the only answer that most churches have is, well, you know, you just come to church and you know, maybe you sign up for the nursery and cut the grass and, you know, get some money. And that's really not an adequate plan. So,
yeah, what I found also is that in a lot of churches today, they use the Rick Warren model of the four classes for church membership. So, oh, you want to join the church? Okay, before you can join the church, you got to go to these four classes. And, you know, the first one is like introductory to the church and what the history of the, you know, that particular church building is and all that stuff. And then it goes on through to four until the last one is or one of the four will be discipleship. And they use that right and coincides with the one where, you know, how your place in the church, and that's where they, you know, they help them to identify their calling, you know, and like you said, it might be cutting grass and, you know, sweeping the sidewalk or whatever, but I think what they're looking for are workers, you know.
Right. Well, and you know, those things can be helpful, and you know, those are usually in the Rick Warren model. I seem to remember a book where there's a baseball diamond, and I think he, something like that. But it's kind of their path, and that's really helpful. But discipleship,
that's not discipleship.
Right, when you begin to look at the way that Jesus took these 12 men and he basically lived with them, right, for about the last year and a half is when his ministry with the disciples was full time, and they followed him, and they just, you know, traveled around with him, and that's a much deeper level than just coming to a class or
right.
So we found a need to get some materials and get a path by which any church.
I'm getting a lot of like scratchy noises and stuff.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Just start over again because I couldn't understand what you're saying.
Sure. So, as a pastor for many years, I saw a need to give our church members, or the people in the church, some way that they can personally disciple and work with new believers, people that had come to know Christ, or sometimes new folks come to the church. Maybe they're Christians for many years, but they've never really grown in
right. Yeah.
They've been church attenders for many years, but they've never really, developed their own personal Bible study habits.
And right.
So over the years in ministry, I began to put some of these things together down in, it just was, at first some pages that were stapled together. And and I think I first started with 8 or 16 lessons, and it kind of changed and grew. And now we have 34 lessons that are in a book. That really go over just a few basic things, the fundamentals of the faith, the doctrines of the Christian faith, because a lot of discipleship material, and there's a lot out there. I mean, Navigators and
right.
other ministries have discipleship material, but they're what I call them. They're kind of like get started types of things, where they talk about praying and witnessing perhaps and some other, some other key things, but they really don't cover the doctrine. So I wanted a tool by which that a new believer could really understand the basic doctrines of the faith, how to study the Bible, and those other aspects of the Christian life, like spiritual growth and prayer and confession of sin. So we put that together. And over the years at Faith Bible Church in Vineland, we had our folks doing that. It wasn't just the pastor or the key deacon that was doing discipleship. We had quite a few of our people entering into, basically like home Bible studies that would take a year or a year and a half, and with the goal of helping that young Christian become spiritually mature, and then that young Christian can help others to become spiritually mature. That's the reproduction model that we're so much looking for. So it's a curriculum and a path, but it's really the key to it is that relationship. It's eating together. That's the environment where that comes from.
Okay. Now your book on discipleship examines, as you said, the ministry of Jesus to his disciples as a pattern for our own efforts at disciple making. But let me just quickly read the description for your book. It's called Follow the Master, How Jesus Made Disciples. And it says, when Jesus gave the Great Commission on the shores of Galilee, he was telling the 11 to go and do with others what I've done with you. He had just completed, as Paul said, over 3 years when they were following him and learning from him. And Jesus repeats this command on the familiar shores of Galilee, where so many of their memories with him were formed. And by examining the life of Jesus, you can learn how to impact others to follow the master. I mean, I'm Paul. It sounds like a great book, but without going to the mission field, how can the average non-fivefold ministry person, i.e., the average Christian, how can they get involved in discipleship training without being called to the mission field?
Well, we all have friends, right, and we all have neighbors and people that we're in touch with, and really that becomes the opportunity for us to influence people for Christ. And when you look at what Jesus did, it's interesting, when Jesus called the disciples, there isn't anything outstanding or spectacular in their lives. They weren't, they weren't teachers, they weren't influential people, they weren't wealthy people, they were common, and what made the difference is the time that Jesus spent with them.
Yeah.
And so I think the Lord is calling us to spend time with people. Hey, let's not forget, we each have, if you're married and have kids, you've got your first discipleship group right there.
Good point. Yeah.
We've got to disciple our kids. Disciple means the root word disciple, it's the Greek word mathetes. In the first century, it wasn't a Christian word.
Right.
It was a common word. Mm-hmm. And there were lots of disciples. The New Testament talks about there were disciples of the Pharisees. There were lots of disciples, and the concept of discipleship in the first century involved two things. It involved following, and they would literally go, and they, you know, like Plato and Aristotle, they had this little entourage that would follow them, right?
Yep.
So the disciple was a follower, and the other was a learner. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we think about a baker teaching his son how to bake bread, a blacksmith teaching his son how to work with iron. Well, that's what a disciple, that's the idea of discipleship. It means learning and teaching someone those skills. And it's all done in the context of relationships.
Yeah.
So I wanted to clarify for you, Pastor Bob, we're actually talking about two books. The one you talked about, Follow the Master, How Jesus Made Disciples, mm-hmm. looks at the life of Jesus and gives us tools and lessons from the life of Jesus that show us how we're supposed to do this with others. You know, so in other words, when Jesus told the disciples, you know, he gave the Great Commission, and he said, go and make disciples. You just read it from the cover of the book there. Jesus was basically, they didn't stand around saying, okay, well, Lord, what does that mean, go and make disciples? They'd been doing that with him. So he had set the pattern and just was telling them, yeah, this is what you got to go and do. So build relationships. And we kind of see how that happened, right? You know, Paul had Timothy and Aquila and Priscilla, and Luke traveled with Paul, and you know, and so we see these relationships in the New Testament books, and that's how we're to pass on this information, you know, pass on this life change that Christ has done in our lives. The second book is the curriculum book. It's called Follow the Master, a Discipleship Course for Growing Christians.
Oh, okay, all right. Let me put that into the show notes as well.
Tell us
about that book.
Yeah, and that's the book that really came first. That just was a book of desperation. that was a pastor saying, how do I help our people to disciple one another, and you know, new believers and newcomers to the church that need growth, and that's what started as first a few lessons and then became a larger curriculum, and that's really designed for anyone. To take a friend or in a small group study. It's not the kind of book where the disciplee goes and does a lesson, fills in the blanks, and then comes back and meets with a discipler and they do it together. You actually sit down together and go through it. So you don't need any training. If you can read and read Bible verses and answer the questions that are there, you'll be learning Bible doctrine.
Amen.
And it's really focused on, you know, just teaching Bible doctrine so that our lives can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you recommend the small group training that's usually offered in churches today?
Well, this is really designed for a small group. This would be like a small group that wants to get together. It's usually going to take about a year because it's 34 lessons, and some of the lessons are really two sessions. They're too long for one session. So we find it takes about a year or a year and a half. And if you could go through this as a small group, or I have folks that have been doing this with their kids in home Bible study and going through this now, it's really more for like high school or middle school and up. It's really not a children's devotional. It's a little too academic for kids, for little kids, but middle school and high school, if you want a tool to work through that with your kids and teach them Bible doctrine, but with the idea of life change, not just learning more information, but how does this impact our lives? How does the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, what does that do for me? The knowledge that once I'm saved, I have, you know, my salvation is based in Christ's work and it can't be taken away. What does that do for me? You know, how does that change my life on a day by day basis? So, you know, those are the kinds of things that are contained in a neighborhood Bible study or parents with their kids, or it can be done one-on-one. I used to do it predominantly one-on-one, but then I started looking at Jesus and the time with his disciples. Very rarely did Jesus spend one-on-one time with his disciples.
Yeah, not only that, the one-on-one, it takes the same amount of effort, but if you did one-on-five, you've just multiplied yourself five times over.
That's right.
Same amount of effort.
Yeah, and then you're all learning from one another. Even the leader is learning from others. So that's kind of a biblical model. When I completed my doctoral dissertation at Clark Summit University, I did it on discipleship, and that's where I kind of worked on those lessons and refined them a little bit. But I also looked at the life of Jesus and asked myself the question, well, how did Jesus do this, and what can we learn from him? And so this shorter book, Follow the Master, How Jesus Made Disciples, that's where that book comes from. And that's just a kind of book you sit down and read, and you take it on vacation, or you keep it on your nightstand and read a chapter, and it's only 100 pages. It doesn't take terribly long to get through.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Unfortunately, we are all out of time for today. We've been talking to Paul Borecka about the discipleship training, his new book, Follow the Master, How Jesus Made Disciples. I mean, you can't beat following the pattern that Jesus set. Amen. And we want to, we're just scratching the surface on this stuff, and he's already given us a ton of value. And you need to come back tomorrow so we can finish up this interview with Paul. You're going to really love what he's going to talk about tomorrow. We are looking at things about how people that are not in the fivefold ministry can help out in discipleship training. We're going to be looking at small group training that churches are offering. You just need to come back tomorrow and catch up with us. Till then, this is Pastor Bob Tour reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.